listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today in studio with me, Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and on the line, Larry Parnas, investigations editor for the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Adam.
We start this week with former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who says he's considering a run for the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. Patrick held the corner office in the State House for two terms, and he tells KCUR Radio in Kansas City that such a move is on his radar screen.
I am trying to think through 2020, and that's a decision I'm trying to think through from a personal and family point of view, and also whether, you know, what I believe is going to be on offer by somebody. And if it's on offer by somebody, then maybe what I can do is help that that person. But we'll see.
Matt, did this surprise you at all? And does he have a chance?
You know, it really didn't surprise me at all. I mean, this has been there has been some serious pushing from Obama world for Deval Patrick to at least consider this possibility. He never completely closed the door on getting back into politics when he left office. And I think, you know, he could easily assemble the kind of group of people he would need to run that campaign, provided that another Massachusetts person does not run for this office.
Ah, you read my mind, Mr. Szafranski. Larry, how about Elizabeth Warren, the U.S. Senator? Is this something that Deval Patrick needs to keep in mind as he takes a look at perhaps running?
Well, you know, the whole I was kind of puzzled by some of his choice of words on that Kansas City radio appearance. You know, the whole business of on offer, thinking through 2020. I've been thinking about 2022 and my family commitments as well, as is Elizabeth Warren, I'm sure. I just think that, you know, her support, I believe, is more fervent, and I think she would probably pretty easily push him out of the picture. Although I think having him in there would be good for the party and good for the debate. He's you know, he's an articulate person. He kind of has a lawyer's way of sanding the edges off of things, and I wonder what that does for him lined up against other you know, rivals in a primary race. But you knew he was in it when he mentioned on the radio station that he has hunted and he's a pretty good shot.
Matt, what's your take about Elizabeth Warren and Deval Patrick and that whole dynamic?
I'm doubtful that they would both run at the same time. There's a lot of overlap in terms of their political background. It was the same reason why I was doubtful that Elizabeth Warren would have run when Hillary Clinton was running in 2016. There's too much overlap of their background of staff. And, you know, that base of support you have is absolutely important. But I've seen and frankly participated in enough campaigns to see how important staff are. And I'm not sure that both of them could run from Massachusetts, you know, without creating one of these civil wars, kind of like what you see happening out in Boston with the competitive congressional race out there.
Well, Matt, in that case, who gets to decide it?
I don't know exactly. I think that there will definitely be some serious negotiations. And also, I think that the fact that Patrick got into this is a sign that Elizabeth Warren is not as close to getting in as people might think she is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Shifting gears to another election, this year's upcoming state election, an alleged dust-up over an endorsement came to light between Massachusetts Secretary of State Bill Galvin and Lawrence Mayor Daniel Rivera. Galvin is facing a rare challenger in the Democratic primary, Boston City Councilor Josh Zakim. After Rivera endorsed Zakim, the mayor says Galvin called him up and said the conversation became heated, and the Secretary of State allegedly told Rivera, "I made you mayor." Galvin did not respond to interview requests from the State House News Service. Larry, if what Rivera alleges Galvin said is true, what does that say about the person who is in charge of the state's elections?
Wow. Well, again, if it's true, and I'm kind of disappointed that Galvin didn't deign to comment on this to the news service. I mean, it says arrogance of power. You know, if his reference is to the fact that they sent an election observer to Lawrence to help deal with what they were referring to as a chaotic scene politically, that is the responsibility of the Secretary of State's office. So he shouldn't be taking personal bows for that. That's just very strange.
Matt, is Galvin feeling a little heat with a rare challenger coming from his own party?
I think that at this point it's fair to say that that's definitely the case. And I think what makes this Zakim's challenge unique is that he comes into the race with resources right away. I mean, the new 93 bridge in Boston is named after Josh Zakim's father. Fundraising should never have been a problem for him, and it hasn't been. And I think that's what adds to the strength of this challenge, and it's probably worrying Galvin.
Moving on, lawyers on all sides of the Berkshire Museum's proposed art sale have recently filed briefs with the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court as the museum looks to push ahead with its plans. The museum and state attorney general's office want the high court to approve a deal allowing the sale, which includes two paintings by Norman Rockwell. Opponents, however, are trying to block it, saying the deal is flawed and illegal. Larry, can you fill us in on all of these legal filings?
For the opponents, Adam, I think it's all over but the crying, as they say. There's very limited input that they can have at this point now. I talked to the two attorneys today who have been representing plaintiffs. There's really not much else they can do. They need the court's permission to file anything else. They both said that they feel that they've got enough paperwork in front of the justice here who's going to be handling this. I think it would be really hard for this justice to overcome the attorney general's support for this decision. This is really, you know, in the wheelhouse for the AG, overseeing nonprofits and public charities. The one gambit that one of the opponents have in their briefs is the notion of a special master who could have some sway over the museum's financial operations. But I just don't see how the justice is going to get the evidence needed to really feel that the museum was weak on management and that the attorney general's office is just looking the other way.
Matt, let's take a look at this from another angle. The attorney general's office has kind of shifted gears here. They were fighting the museum, then they became a partner of the museum. There's some in Berkshire County who are rather annoyed by all this. Could this have some political consequences for Maura Healey should she decide to run for something other than attorney general in the future?
I'm skeptical about that. I think that, I mean, there's definitely going to be some people who are going to walk away from this disappointed and they will hold grudges. But long term, I don't see this as being something that could really upend her political standing. I should just say as a disclosure, I have supported Maura Healey in the past and just want that out there for your listeners.
Thank you for that.
I think Matt's right about that. It's you know, deeply felt among some people in Berkshire County who will remember this and be puzzled by it for years to come.
All right. Larry Parnas, investigations editor at the Berkshire Eagle, and Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.